In for a treat.
That could be very good.
or terrifying. I'm not sure what to do with that. Morning. I'm still waking up a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. We had a wedding out at the camp last night, and I worked the late shift, and the wedding, they left at 2 o'clock. They left the lodge. My last tweet before I went to bed last night said, when you leave the lodge at 2 and got to get up at 9 to go to Arrowwood, # director life. It's good. It's good. It's been a good summer. We've been trying a new thing where we're actually taking more rentals during the summer. And you guys had a direct impact on our ability for a user group that we had last weekend. So before I start, I want to say thank you. This is the first opportunity I've had to come back and say thank you. That bearded wife of mine apparently was here last week and spoke. And so you guys can compare us. He's literally saved in my phone as my bearded wife. If I use Siri, and it's hilarious because I'll be around clients, parents, customers, and I will say, phone my bearded wife. My actual wife, the one I'm actually married to, is saved in my phone as Smoking Hot Wifey. So I have Smoking Hot Wifey and my bearded wife, and sometimes Siri gets very confused. But apparently Colin was here last week, and I'm not sure if he had a chance. We wanted to say thank you for the barbecue. And so we have a brand new, awesome barbecue. But I don't know, I sent it out in the weekly update, and I noticed that the weekly updates are posted. Well, they're sort of posted. Y'all are like 3 weeks behind, but whatever. Yeah, right? Yeah, convenient. He's 3 weeks behind and doesn't show up today. No. Wow. Digging a hole before I start here. You guys raised enough money for us to buy a brand new barbecue. If you had been out to camp and seen our old barbecue, it needed to go away and, well, die. And so now it has. We went and you guys raised the 900 bucks that we needed to purchase like a big grill that's like amazing. But when you guys donated the money, what you may not know, what you would know if you read weekly updates, if you want to get in on those, just let me know and I'll hook you up on the email chain for them. What happened was when we went to purchase it, it was on sale for like way cheaper than 900 bucks. So we purchased it and we're purchasing another mobile barbecue. So we were able to purchase two barbecues and covers for those barbecues all because of you guys. Now, here's where the story gets really, really good. Last weekend, we hosted the Canadian Wake Surf Nationals. And so Wake Surf Canada contacted us and they said, hey, we want to do wake surfing at Camp Chestermere. Is that cool? And we're like, yep. And so we said yes. And it actually ran on the Friday while camp was still going on. That was the thing. And then it ran all day Saturday, all day Sunday. We hosted a birthday party at the same time that it was going on. There was a lot going on. However, we barbecued all for the event. So from 11:30 until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock on both days, we barbecued for all the guests who were there. Guess which barbecue we were using? The one you guys purchased. Without that purchase, we could never have done it. Now, here's what's really, really, really cool. There were supposed to be food trucks that were going to show up. None of them showed up. So the only people who were able to provide food for these people that came out was Camp Chestermere. If we wouldn't have had that grill that you guys bought us, not a chance we could have pulled that off. So thank you. You guys had a direct impact on something that we did last weekend. That's involvement to me. That's being a member church to me. You guys may not have ever heard that story, but now I want you to know those stories. That's something that we're trying to do a better job of. We have realized that in the past, Camp Chestermere has not really been totally successful in always telling the stories of what's going on, and I'm a big believer in telling the stories because we want you to be involved, and we want you to know that just something you may have thought, yeah, cool, we'll give them a barbecue, and they'll use it for cooking for kids, and that'll be cool. Here's what you don't know about the Canadian Wake Surf Nationals that we found out. One of the guys that was one of the riders for Canadian Wake Surf Canada, yeah, he's a church planter. Comes out, finds out we're a Christian organization. Yeah, we're chatting. The major boat sponsor that was out there, yeah, they're a Christian organization. Do we need boats? Oh, right. Yes, we do. On the Saturday, Camp Chestermere, the event was being live streamed all over the world, and over 6,000 people were watching the event and hearing about Camp Chestermere and Camp Chestermere is being talked about and da 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 da. It's just, I'm just a big believer in us raising the profile in the community that we are here to be a gift to you, because that's the gospel that I read. I read a gospel where Jesus says, we're a gift. I have good news. I'm coming. We are meant to be part of community, not secluded in a way, not the weird Bible camp at the end of the lake, but a gift to the community where people go, hey, there's something different about you. I should be careful because now I'm about to preach my entire sermon. Something as simple as donating a barbecue. Thank you. So in the summer we count weeks. We are on week 8. That might sound weird to you. You might go, no, it's like August 20th. We're week 8. This is Teens Week this week. Teens Week starts tonight at 2:30 is the staff meeting. 3 o'clock is the full staff meeting, and 5 o'clock teens are coming. Right now, we have 79 teens coming this week. That's like almost 30 up from last year, which is sweet. And we went and looked, and sometimes Teens Week is actually glorified staff paying to come to camp. And a lot of the people that are coming are not staff members. It is a true, like, 70-plus people coming for Teens Week. Teens Week's called Insanus because Teens Week, we literally take camp. We add some steroids, and we just go. So I don't even know what's going to happen. I got my programs team bugging me right now because they're like, yo, we want to spend money on this. Do we have money for this? And I'm like, no, yes. I don't know what's going to go down this week, but it's going to be exciting. Last week, we had 120 overnight campers and 100 day campers. There were 220 kids on site last week. Yeah, we were full. It was full. It was good. And it was kids camp. So kids camps are 5 to 11, and day camps are 5 to 13s. So 220, basically all under the age of 10. Yeah, good. I'm still standing. We're good. What I want to talk about, though, is this morning I want to talk about a story that I have been wrestling with all summer. This is a story I have really been wrestling with, two stories all summer. The one story I am wrestling with is Jesus calling Matthew. That story is messing me up. I can't wrap my head around it. I keep getting into these arguments, discussions, gentle conversations with people who want to come and yell at some of our staff and yell at me for hiring certain people. They go, they weren't ready. And then I try and pull up my Bible, and I go, yeah, but when Jesus called Matthew, he was still collecting taxes. And they don't like that. And I've really been wrestling with that, because I wrestle with that story. And another story that I've really been wrestling with all summer is the story of Zacchaeus. I am really wrestling this summer with the story of Zacchaeus. Now, there's a danger. There's a danger in preaching when you're a guest speaker driving here to preach on Zacchaeus. I know, like, 6 of you just went in the room and went, oh, another sermon on Zacchaeus. Are you kidding me? I already know this story. Right? Because, like, I have grown up in the church, and I have heard about 7,000 sermons on Zacchaeus. Right? And it's kind of like that same old story. Oh, sweet. Jesus goes, and he calls him, and he gets converted. Yay, Zacchaeus! But there's some other things about that story that are, like, punching me square in the nose as I read it. And those are the ones I want to talk about this morning. And Zacchaeus is, like, such a popular story that it's one of those few stories that we actually used to, maybe still do, had a Sunday school song for. Anybody remember the Sunday school song for Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for his Lord he wanted to see. Yeah, and there's actions. There are actions. 100%. Like, I grew up on this song. And so it's one of those stories that is so, like, not all the stories have a Sunday school song to them. Zacchaeus has a Sunday school story to it. And so it's super popular and super known, and I'm sure those of us that have been going to church for any more than 10 minutes have heard dozens of sermons on this. But I want to focus on that this morning. Because as I read this story, there's some things that stand out to me. And I'm wrestling with it, and it's challenging me. This story this summer is challenging. It's challenging me as a Christian. It is challenging everything that I believe about evangelism. And it is challenging me as a leader at Camp Chesterman. So I'm going to pray for two reasons. One, if you're one of those people that I cannot handle another Zacchaeus story, this is your chance to sneak out. Because we're all going to close our eyes. We won't even know. But I want to pray and just ask the Holy Spirit just to help open our eyes this morning, that maybe there's something new in this story that we haven't noticed. Father, I thank you that your word is alive. Father, I thank you that we can read the same story 7 billion times, and on 7 billion time and one, you point out something new. That, Father, that because your word is alive, it speaks. And so, Father, I just pray this morning that your word would speak, Father, that we would, that myself even, that I don't get caught up in I know this story. But, Father, that we approach this with fresh eyes. We look at it, Father, in the context of who we are and what we are about and what you have called us as the Christian community to do. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a quote that was up here when I came in. Can we put that quote back up? Because if I don't do PowerPoint, it's just not me. It's not my style, I think. But there was a quote that was up here. It's coming. And I want us to keep this quote in mind as we read this story. I want us to keep this quote in mind. Because I hadn't told anybody what I was speaking on this morning. I'd been wrestling with two different sermons, this one or talking about Matthew, and I decided on this one. And then I walked in this morning and I read this: create opportunities for people to experience God in life-changing way. Create opportunities for people to experience God in a life-changing way. I read that and I went, dude, I had no idea what I was speaking on this morning. And this is so I want you to keep this quote in mind with the Zacchaeus story. Create opportunities for people to experience God in a life-changing way. Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, I can relate, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. To see him. He's passing through and he just wants to see him since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. There's so much. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. The first thing in this story that strikes me, that like just reaches out and smacks me right on the nose, is Jesus says, he must. What? What do you mean you must? You got a whole bunch of other things. What do you mean you must stay? Jesus says, I must stay. It's not I would like to. Jesus doesn't go up and go, hey, Zach, you want to come down? I want to hang out. Hey, Zach, you want to get together? Hey, Zach, you want to? No, he walks up and he says, I must stay at your house. Not, hey, Zacchaeus, I must talk to you. hey, Zacchaeus, I must have a conversation. No, Zacchaeus, I must stay with you. What? There's this immediacy. There's this need. He's like, come down right now because I must go to your house. And look what he says at the start of the story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. If we read this, we could easily surmise that Jesus had showed up. He was going to cruise through Jericho. He's probably going to heal some people, throw some demons out, do a little chatting, and keep going. That's probably what he was. And I'm not downplaying any of those things because that's really cool. But it says that Jesus was just passing through. And Zacchaeus climbs a tree, and Jesus goes, I must stay. I must change all of my plans to stay with you. I'm going to change whatever I had planned today to stay with you. And just to help with context, just for a minute, calling for Zacchaeus, the text does not discuss how Jesus knows his name, right? So there's nowhere in the text where it's like, he knew his name because of this or this or this. We could surmise some things. We could guess something. He was the chief tax collector. Jesus hung around a lot. He could have been well known. But in the original Greek, the word translate, the must, translates to this. It is necessary. Jesus says, it is necessary for me to go. That's what the original word translates to. It is necessary for him to stay with Zacchaeus. And in ancient culture, the request revealed Jesus' acceptance of Zacchaeus. And that's why it stuns the crowd. For Jesus to go, it is necessary for me to stay at your house. What Jesus was communicating is, I accept you. What? The chief tax collector. Now remember, in biblical times, there was scum. There was the stuff you scrape off scum. And then there were tax collectors. Right? Like tax collectors were like lowest of the low. Like they were looked down on, especially if you understand the political environment of what was going on at this time. They were collecting taxes for Rome. The Jews hated this. This was not good, especially the zealots who hung out with Jesus. They really didn't like tax collectors. And what's really, really cool in Luke is Luke often, all throughout his gospel, Luke points out the idea that Jesus accepts people. And for Jesus to do this in that culture of saying, I'm coming to your house, Jesus was saying, I accept you. I could stop preaching right there. Luke underlines this by... Luke underlines the request by using the frequent Lucan term today. He even placed emphatic position on the request, meets with public skepticism. Jesus goes, I got to meet with you. It is necessary. And behind him, people are muttering and complaining and saying that's not what Jesus should be doing and Jesus should be doing this, which allows Jesus to make a point about the nature of his mission. Jesus came to make a point about the nature of his mission. So the question that comes to mind, I got 3 points today. Question that comes to mind is this. First of all, when's the last time we were so aware that someone wanted to encounter Jesus that we allowed our plan to be interrupted? When's the last time I was so aware that there was a God encountering moment that was about to happen that I was willing to stop passing through and go, I must meet with you? When's the last time I walked with a Jesus attitude of, I must meet with you because it's that important? I mean, we're busy, right? We busy people. The world just seems to be getting busier. I'm a busy guy. I gave you a little bit of my resume from last night. I'm busy. A quote from one of my mentors in leadership, though, goes like this. No one owns the monopoly on busy. Right? Nobody owns a monopoly on busy. We like to think we do. Like we want to compare notes and trade war stories, but no one actually owns a monopoly on busy. But we got stuff to do. Jobs to work, errands to run, kids to get, hair or there. I play hockey. My son plays hockey. That's enough. Right? Like we be busy. But do we walk with an awareness that the Spirit of God is speaking? Not might speak. but is speaking and prompting and leading and encouraging and asking us to allow ourselves to be interrupted. It appears as though Jesus was just going to pass through, and then he says he must meet with Zacchaeus. But I need to get there, do that, do it, right? We live with this attitude of, no, I got to get there, and I got to get this, and I got to, and we walk by that person in the mall who's over there, and we know that they're a little bit hurting, but I got to keep going over here. And Jesus says, hey, if I saw that, I must meet with that person. Who in our town, who do we walk by on our street, and Jesus is prompting you, going, you must meet with that person. You're like, yeah, but like, I got to go get the groceries. My family needs dinner cooked. I have responsibilities. And Jesus says, yeah, but I must meet with that person. Last week, what if we've been, and as I was thinking about this, I had some other questions that came to mind. What relationship in our lives is broken and we need to repair it? What relationship do you have in your life? Some of you should just get up and leave. And go make the phone call right now. You've had all the church you need. Go phone and repair that relationship. Now, I'm a little terrified sharing that story. Because the last time I said that, this is a true story. Last time I said that, I was speaking at Tequila Monday at First Assembly Church in Calgary. This is about 5-6 years ago. And right before I got up to speak, I just said, you know, just before I speak, I just feel like there's somebody in this room that you came here tonight and you have a broken relationship and you just came because you want to encounter Jesus and you're asking him to fix the relationship. And can I just tell you, don't listen to me preach tonight. Go. Get out of here. Go make that phone call. Go have that coffee. Go repair that relationship. You don't need a sermon tonight. You just need to know what Jesus has asked you to do and go and do that. Okay, that's all I said. Okay? I preach. Finish preaching. People are coming up and they're asking for prayer. This girl, this is an absolute true story. This girl comes walking up and she's dragging this guy behind her. Right? And I'm like, uh-oh. And I'm thinking back to like what I had said at the beginning of the service. And I'm like, oh no, this is not what I meant. Like, don't bring him to me. I'm not going to fix you. But she's just dragging. And this guy like just is like, like it's so bewildered. And she brings him up and she goes, can you pray for us? I was like, yeah, why? She goes, well, here's what you need to know. I missed your entire sermon. I was like, okay, so what? She goes, because I heard what you said. And this is my boyfriend. And we're trying to decide if we're going to keep this relationship going. And it's my fault. And so I phoned him. And I told him what you said. And we're trying to repair our relationship. You pray for us. They're now married and have a kid. That's one of those cool, that has nothing to do with me. That has nothing to do with me. But where in your life are you walking in here right now and you're just like, I need more of Jesus, and Jesus is going, I've already given you enough of me. What you need to do is pick up the phone. What you need to do is repair the relationship. Do you live with an attitude of, I must repair that relationship? What awkward phone call do you need to make this afternoon and say hi? What awkward text message do you need to send? What have you been putting off and thinking, oh, I'll do that later, and Jesus teaches us, make it a must thing. Jesus could have walked by, right? He could have walked by and been like, oh, that dude probably wants to meet with me. Okay, when I come back through Jericho next week, I'll see. No, Jesus is like, that dude wants an encounter. We know that we're not promised tomorrow. What relationship in your life? Last week I talked to our staff about being open to the idea that maybe there were kids there last week that needed a must moment with Jesus. I challenged our staff with it. I was like, watch for the must moments. And when you're at your most tired and you're most vulnerable and you just want to tap out and go on your break, take a peek over your shoulder and look for a must moment. Man, we had some cool stories come out of last week. What kid needs to know that they're special? What kid needs to know that they are loved? We had a group from Prairie Bible Institute. And one of their leaders came and they said, you know what I noticed about you guys this week? I noticed this week that you guys are trying to create a culture where you are a family to people who don't have one. We work with kids that come from a gateway program, and they're there because they broke the law. And they're there, and it is struggles, and it is stuff. Not everyone who comes to Camp Chestermere is Christian. A lot of them don't even come from a church background. That creates certain challenges in our organization that other camps just don't have. And she said, what I love about what you guys are doing, this isn't my words, this is her only being there for 4 days. After 4 days, I met with them Thursday night before they left. And I said, what's your number one takeaway about our camp? And she said, my number one takeaway is you guys are creating a family for kids that don't have one. It's pretty sick. I like that. That's one of those make you feel good. Then another parent phones and complains. But you guys are creating a family for those who don't have one. Do you live with that must attitude of, I got to fix this. I got a phone. I'm going to own this. I'm going to own my mistake. I'm going to have a must attitude that this there's an immediacy to this. The second part of this story that jumps out to me is the interest Zacchaeus has in just seeing Jesus. Like not even meeting him. Like there's nowhere in this story does it actually say that Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus. You notice that? All he wanted to do was see him. It was good enough. If he could just see him, that was good enough. Like what's that? Zacchaeus just wanted to see him. He wanted so badly just to see him that he climbed a tree. What are we doing as Christian organizations where people are willing to look kind of silly just to look at what we're doing? Zacchaeus, like, climbed a tree. When you're a grown man climbing a tree, you look kind of dumb. And he didn't even want to meet him. Nowhere in there do we say that. Now, he probably did, but that's not what the story said. The story is that he wanted to see him. I wanted to see what he's doing, see what he's about. I'm too short, so I climb a tree. See, my problem with the Sunday school song that I referred to earlier is that it says, for his Lord he wanted to see. That's not actually true. Jesus wasn't his Lord yet. He just wanted to see the dude. Zacchaeus didn't know Jesus. He had heard about him. But from what he had heard, he wanted to see what he was about. What are we doing in our churches and in our Christian organizations where people are so curious about us that they just stop by? This challenges me as a leader at Camp Chestermere. What am I doing as a leader at Camp Chestermere in our environment that makes people just so curious that they just want to stop by? What are we doing? What are we doing so that we could be a burning bush in the middle of Chestermere where people just go, man, there's something different about those guys. I'm going to go see what's going on. And to the point where they'll get weird about it and like peer through trees. Now, often if we have an adult peering through trees, that's a whole other problem where we phone the RCMP. But I'm just saying, where are we doing? This is like, this has been, like, this story has been kicking my butt all summer. Because I'm going, what are we doing that is so special and so different that people are going, I want to see what those guys are doing and what they're about. Because that's what Zacchaeus did. He went, there's something about Jesus. So as Jesus followers, what are we doing in the middle of Arrowwood that people around here go, what are those guys doing and what are they about? And I want to just go see it. I may not meet it. I may not even walk in the door, but I want to see it because I'm curious about what those guys are doing. Challenges me. This is one of the reasons why we do rentals at Camp Chestermere. One of the reasons why we keep saying yes and doing rentals and taking some risks. But one of the reasons why we keep doing rentals is, man, the doors that God keeps opening. And we have literally found that people ask, they say the funniest, weirdest thing. They're like, hey, there's something different about you guys. What is it? You know what that's called? Opportunity. As soon as they say there's something different about you guys, what is it? That's called opportunity. See, here's what we believe. We believe that the Spirit of God is alive in us. And so all we have to do is be us. And people will know that there's something different about us. I'm just crazy enough to try and believe that. Now, some days I suck at it. But that's, at my core, that's what I believe. Again, those prairie guys that came last week, they said, I see that you guys here are finding ways to have broken people lead broken people. When I asked, what is your number one takeaway about Camp Chestermere? She said, you're finding ways to figure out how to have broken people lead broken people. And yeah, there are struggles with that. Good night. I have staff who say really stupid things where I got to go, come here. No. Bad. But how cool is it when people go, what you are doing is different? Why is there something different about you? People asking questions leads to conversations. Are we creating cultures where people are so curious that they're asking questions? Are we the Christian community? Are we the Christian community creating a culture where people are so curious that they're asking questions? We ain't perfect at this. We mess it up all the time. But one of our desires is to create a culture where people ask questions. We sang this morning, "When I fall down, you pick me up." One of the things about having broken people lead broken people is we have to believe that. That cannot be Christian karaoke to us. We have to believe that when I fall down, you pick me up. What's the reputation in our town? What's the reputation of Arrowwood Gospel Church in your town? What's the reputation of Camp Chester in our community? You know what it used to be, like 5, 6, 7 years ago? Kind of the weird Bible camp at the end of the lake that doesn't really work with anybody. You know what our culture is now? Somebody the other day was at a meeting where I wasn't at this meeting, and they said, "Here, phone Shannon, he'll take care of you." That's kind of cool that now non-Christian organizations are recommending us to other non-Christian organizations because we know that we'll work with them. I don't know. There's something Jesus about that to me. There's something gospel about that to me. It's cool. I'm not bragging, honestly, because we mess it up. But this week, when we talk about something curious, remember I've talked to you here about the Gateway program before. So we had a kid this week, he was from the Gateway program. He's super weird. And found out later that this child is highly autistic. And we didn't know until they told us later. I was like, "Ugh." But it was funny because he would sit outside the chat. Non-church kid, no church experience. That. He would sit outside the chat during worship. He would just sit. And he would just sit and listen. I was like, "Oh." And we would just sit there. And our guest speaker was like, "Well, are you guys going to go talk to him?" I was like, "Nope. Nope." Because if we go talk to him, it looks like we have an agenda. We're just going to wait. So he comes the first day, and he listens to the music, and then he leaves. Comes the second day, sits outside, listens to music, shuffles into the doorway. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Guest speaker, "You going to talk to him?" "Nope. Nope." Third day, walks all the way in for worship. Are we creating a culture that just says, "You're welcome here, and you just show up at your own pace"? I could have easily walked up and tried to, you know, convert and preach to them right there. Holy Spirit was doing all that for me. All we got to do is create the culture. Because it's not us who saves anyway. And the third thing that jumps out to me in this story is this. Are we willing to do what we know that God has called us to do, even when others ridicule and put us down for it? Are we willing to live the gospel message that we believe that Jesus has put on our heart, even when others make fun of us for it, including Christians? Christians don't make fun of each other for the way they live out the gospel. Really? Shall we open up the debate of sloppy wet kiss and unforeseen kiss? Shall we open up the ridiculous debates? Right? I'm going to say something a little controversial. Sometimes I feel it is not non-Christians that will make me want to leave ministry. It's Christians. Straight up. Sorry. Hashtag. Honestly. I deal way better sometimes with my non-Christian buddies and my Christian buddies who are like, "Oh, well, you're doing the gospel like this, and you got to do it like this. And when that kid's standing at the door, if you're not right in his face preaching, then you're not actually preaching the gospel." I'm like, "Really?" Because it's the Holy Spirit who's doing the work anyway, not me. Where people come with a certain set of already instilled values. See, Colin and I, my bearded wife, we joke about this all the time. And the first couple weeks of the summer were a little bumpy, not going to lie to you. It was bumpy. This is the stuff that doesn't go into the weekly updates. And it was a little bumpy. And I remember just sitting in my office and Deuce, Colin, my bearded wife, walks in, and I'm like, "Dude, seriously, like right now, I kind of want to run the nice Christian camp for nice Christian kids." And he goes, "No, you don't." I'm like, "Yeah, for the next 5 minutes I do, and then I'll go back to me." But there are some ways that would be easier. Like, that's the camp I grew up at. I grew up going to a Salvation Army camp. Everybody who went to that camp was Salvation Army. Everybody was Salvation Army kids. We all went to Salvation Army churches. We all knew Salvation Army theology. We all knew Salvation Army denomination. Everybody. And in some ways, there are days where I'm like, let's just run that camp. And then Jesus shows up back in my life and goes, nope, that's not what I've called you to do. Sometimes in my one-on-ones with him, I'm like, Jesus, this is hard. And he goes, yeah, I know, but I didn't call you to the easy. And I was like, really? But can we do that for a while? Because that'd be fun. But I don't think that's the camp that I've been called to lead. I believe that Camp Chestermere has been called to be a camp that does Jesus ministry. And Jesus ministry is ridiculously messy. Jesus is messy. He's not neat and tidy and put in a package. I went with a pastor this week, and we had this conversation about how we've westernized the gospel. And in our westernized version of the gospel, we want to put it in a nice little box, sell you the box, and if you can buy the box, then you're in. And he's like, that's never what I saw Jesus do. Jesus is messy. Jesus' ministry means sometimes you're sitting with sinners, and people will mutter about you. Jesus' ministry means sometimes you're going to invite Gateway kids on site, and Christians will not send their kids to camp because Camp Chestermere allows non-Christians to come. True story. True story, by the way. Sometimes Jesus' ministry means you're going to have to deal with emails from parents saying, you can't hire this person, this person, this person because I know what they're doing at university right now, and you shouldn't hire that person. Which, by the way, is called slander and libel, and it's against the law. But we forget that the law is still applying in Christian organizations. Anyway, sorry. But I get that email. If you were to show up at camp, that one individual who the parents said you should never hire that person because their relationship with Jesus is so messed up, he, every single day, we got this little kid at camp. His name's Jack. Jack has some problems. Punching people in the nuts is one. Swearing is another. Last year, kid was a mess. This year, less of a mess. Jack, every day, asks this certain leader to read the Bible to him. Come on. Come on. Are we creating situations where even though I know as a leader I'm going to get blasted for hiring that individual, what I believe is that the gospel story is greater, and I watch that leader every day sit with little 8-year-old Jack and read him the Bible. We have a lot of hurting kids at Camp Chestermere. The other day I was in the chapel and I'm listening to the song, It's Your Breath in Our Lungs. So we pour out our praise and we pour out our praise. And that worship's playing. And I was reading an incident report. So we have these things called incident reports. And incident reports are, well, for, you know, Jack. And they're also used in situations where if a camper discloses something. The night before, one of our favorite questions that we ask at Camp Chestermere is this. If you could ask one question of God, what would it be? What would you want to ask God? So we're singing this song. We're in the chapel. We're singing the song. I'm reading this incident report. This little 8-year-old girl. Oh, sorry if I start crying on this one because this one punched me right in the gut. Little 8-year-old girl asked her cabin leader, why did my dad kill my mom? So we pour out our praise. We pour it, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour. Why did my dad kill my mom? You got to pray for Camp Chestermere. Because I don't know about you, I would not have been ready at 16 years old to answer that question for that little kid. And that's the third one in 3 years. I'm not making any of that up. I don't say that to glorify. I don't. But hey, that's what Jesus' ministry is. Because that little girl. That little girl is also sitting in worship. And I'm watching her in worship, standing like this, going, it's your breath in our lungs, so I'm pouring out my praise, even though my dad killed my mom. What? Are we willing, am I willing, as a leader of Camp Chestermere, to be going, I'm going to welcome these kids in because I believe that that is what Jesus has called me to do, even though people might mutter about it. Are you, as Arrowwood Gospel Church, are you willing to do things that you know are biblical and what Jesus has called you? If you're doing something that's unbiblical and standing on this going, well, I know it's unbiblical, but I'm doing it anyway. No, then you're just, that's, you're hurting the community. Stop. But if you're doing something that you know lines up with the gospel and is what Jesus has asked you to do, and people are ridiculing you and making fun of you for it, that's exactly what happened to Jesus. Because you know who was making fun of Jesus in this story? All the Pharisees, all the religious folk. They were like, why didn't he hang out with me? And Jesus says, because it's the lost that I came for. We have staff who struggle with their relationship with Jesus outside of camp. They just do. And I believe we welcome them into the Jesus community because what better place to have them? We have Christians who don't send their kids to camp because there are non-Christian kids who come. What better place for a hurting person to be than around people who love Jesus and know the good news of the gospel? What better place? And I read the Zacchaeus story, and that's what stands out to me. Jesus walks up to this dude and is like, I must meet with you. And I know I could focus on the whole conversion story of Zacchaeus, but what I'm focusing on this morning is what Jesus did. And Jesus goes, I got to meet with you. It is necessary for me to meet with you. So I want to wrap up with this. Who's on your mind right now that you must have a conversation with? Is there somebody on your mind? Is there a relationship in your life where you know you got to make that phone call and be like, yo, can we fix this? What is it that we are doing as a Christian community that makes people curious about us? That makes people want to get to know us? And in your life, are you willing to keep going on what God has asked you to do? Even when people are muttering about you. Even when people are talking bad about you. Whether they are Jesus followers or not, whether they are family members or not, are you willing to keep going when people are muttering about you? I made a decision last Thursday at Fireside that, yes, I was. Last Thursday at Fireside, I grabbed the mic and I had a little bit of a rant. It felt really good. But I just stood on the stage at Camp Chestermere and I just declared who I believe that we are in Jesus. And that until someone gets rid of me or I leave, this is who we're going to be. We're going to be a bunch of messy people doing this messy ministry called Jesus. That's who we are. That's who I am. That's what you're supporting. In Jesus' name, amen.